Hey there, Mike here from the S&M Show. If you're listening to this, it means either you like our shenanigans, or we roped you into listening. Either way, another way to support our ventures is to listen to Pals for Life Radio. Not only do we air the S&M Show live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, but we also play the best music of the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Give us a listen at palsradio.com. Also, make sure to enable the new Pals for Life radio skill on your Alexa device. Then say, Alexa, play Pals Radio. Whether it's in your bedroom, in your living room, or even on your microwave, our skill will work with any Alexa Echo device. And with that, enjoy the show.
In a world of uncertainty and despair, two heroes have reunited when they're needed the most. Live from the Pals for Life studios, it's the S&M Show. Here are your hosts, Shane Ryan and Mike Bowers.
Welcome back. Oh, yeah, man, how you doing? You good?
I know you like that. I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
Welcome. I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the S&M Show. My name's Shane Ryan, as always, and my co-host is...
Mike Bowers, coming at you on a Tuesday.
And we are mixing it up. We're hitting you with that little remix tonight. So we are live on Pals for Life Radio, palsforliferadio.com, your new favorite hits, or new favorite place for 80s, 90s, 2000 hits. We're excited to be mixing it up this week. We will still be doing our regular scheduled show on Thursday. It'll just be a recording mashup of what we kind of free flow tonight. But excited to change it up a little bit. Gave me a little bit of difference. I got a little faked out. I thought by switching this, I would be able to make hockey tonight, but they decided to keep hockey on Tuesday this week and then change it next week. So my whole little plan and foray got changed up, but this is definitely more fun.
Can I just say that feels so much like a white dude in New York problem. Like, oh my God, my hockey game got rescheduled. Got to make it to the hockey practice. Like, I think if you're anywhere else in the country, I don't think you'd have that issue. Not that it's you enjoy it, so good for you.
But at the same token, I mean, you're just saying that because you haven't felt what hockey fever is with the Seattle Kraken coming at you soon.
2022, we're all on board for that. All in on the Kraken.
Speaking of funny, did you see that? Did I share with you what happened? So, like, the Sabres are like the big thing up here. So, like, I live up in the Western New York area. I'm about an hour outside of Buffalo. We claim Buffalo or Rochester area itself claims Buffalo sports because it's close proximity. You can drive to a Bills game in an hour, Sabres game in an hour, hour 15, depending upon traffic. So it's not bad, and I get why they do it. Not much else up here. But and I can't really make too much fun of the Sabres this year because I'm a Devils fan from New Jersey and the Devils are pretty bad this year as well. And they just fire sailed everybody. But the Sabres have been like hilariously bad. And so the local sports news column did a power rankings of NHL teams and they put the Sabres this year behind the Kraken. And the Kraken haven't even played in the power rankings. It was so great. It had like,
that is harsh. Kind of laughing.
So I'll definitely send that to you. Maybe share it to the social media. But it was hilarious. They did it about 3 weeks ago. I was dying.
That's got a sting.
But yes, so definitely a white guy in Western New York problem.
Yes. So it's been a fascinating week for sports. People will disagree with what I'm about to say when I use the sports transition, but this weekend was WrestleMania weekend, and it was very weird. I don't know how many people watch professional wrestling nowadays. With the pandemic, with just how it's evolved over the years, that sort of thing. But, you know, there was a time not too long ago where WrestleMania was a Sunday night, late March, early April. It's a big event. they do it in, you know, like a football stadium or a baseball stadium, and they'd have 50, 60, 70,000 people there, then inflate the number to like 80, 90,000, whatever. Right. But it was a thing. So obviously when COVID hit, particularly because it was supposed to be last year, right around the time where stuff really went down, they had to move it, and they had it indoors with no fans. And then they made it a two-night thing. So like half the event was on Saturday night, half is on Sunday night. And that was just weird. Then this year,
sounds a little different.
Yeah, which, you know, like I can set aside a night, particularly a Sunday night, to watch some of it. But when you're asking me to give up Saturday night and then Sunday night, that gets to be a bit much. But this week, they made a whole week out of it. So it was Monday night you had Raw, which, you know, they've had for 25, almost 30 years.
Right.
Then Tuesday night was, I think they did the Hall of Fame ceremony there. Wednesday night was, Wednesday and Thursday night was their NXT pay-per-view, which is one of their brands. Friday night was SmackDown. And then Saturday and Sunday was WrestleMania. And it's just, look, I know I'm not doing anything right now, but you're basically asking people to commit like a full, what would essentially be a full-time job that week just to watch wrestling. And as much as I like it, I just couldn't do that. You know, it's.
So do you think they were trying to capitalize on you, the traditional fan, or do you think now with like everything coinciding with the launch and their agreement with Peacock and everything going on there, that they're just trying to saturate the market, if you will, so many people will like maybe be either reinvigorated, reconnect it, hit everybody where they're at? Like, is that, you see, this is something that's going to be going forward for sustainable? Because that does, I will agree with you, that sounds like a lot, especially when a lot of your demographic of true wrestling fans are our age, who now have families, other jobs, responsibilities. Like, to commit that much, that's crazy.
I
figure out what they're doing.
So I would not be surprised if moving forward, they made it a two-night event. There's in Japan, where wrestling is very huge. They do a similar thing with their big event, but it's a two-night thing. I think they are essentially trying to solve one problem, which is the show just got really, really long. For those who don't know, I'm on the West Coast in Washington State. So on a typical day, the event starts at like 4 p.m. my time, which is great. Because usually for most shows, it ends at, you know, 7, 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock my time, which is, you know, it's perfect because it's, you don't have to stay up late. It doesn't feel like you've lost the entire evening, that sort of thing. But for WrestleMania, it would start at 4 and then it would go to like 9, 10, 10:30 my time. So you're talking about, you know, midnight, 1 a.m. Yeah. on the East Coast. And that's just, first of all, that's just late for anybody, but also to expect somebody to watch for 7 hours straight, it's like that's asking a lot. So I think that was to try and address some of that. And then they just created another problem. But it was also their first event back with fans for the first time in over a year. They had like 25,000 people in the Bucks Stadium. So that was different, but also kind of welcome. Right. But they also had to deal with rain both nights. It was like, oh, they're building it up. You know, we're back with fans. Let's start the show. And I'm not kidding. As soon as they played the intro, it was like, and we have a weather delay because we have lightning. So yeah, it was.
Yay, Florida.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, Florida is one of the only states right now that will let you do something like that. But then you also have to deal with Florida weather. So. Right. But, you know, all in all, amidst all of the doing nothing, it was something to do. So can't complain too much.
I'll admit I've lost touch with wrestling. I try every once in a while to get back to it. It was something I loved, fond memories as a kid. I remember it was like one of the best memories, like my cousin, who's a regular listener, best friend, you know, shout out to Adam. But our parents would like split who would ever get either split the pay-per-views or we would host back and forth, and we'd always get pizza and hang out, do a sleepover. So, I mean, it was great. We loved it as kids, imitating the wrestlers going to different events. Same stuff typical kids our age and our demographic did. And then it was just kind of like fell out of it for a little while in high school. And then college, like senior year, we decided to bring back our love for it and committed to it. And then that was it was a nice little foray into our roots, right? Where we were able to carry it over for another two more years. And then it just kind of, after that, I got wrapped up in the MMA type stuff.
Oh yeah.
I wore like one shiny shirt, realized it wasn't for me, threw that shit out. But
your affliction t-shirt or
I didn't even want to spend the money on an affliction one. So I wanted to test the water. So I went to like TJ Maxx and got like some like generic whatever brand that had like a cool design on it. And I wore it once to like a bar and I'm like, yeah, this doesn't work.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
Goodwill in this day.
Yeah. But I mean, we have sports again. Sports coming back with fans. You can argue whether it's the right time or not, but it certainly, it gives you a sense of we're approaching getting back to normal in some capacity, which is nice, I guess.
I think I'd be inclined to go back to something if it was outdoors. I think I'm looking forward to there's minor league baseball around here that I might test the waters with that. There's not a lot of crowds in that anyway to begin with, but.
Yeah. So speaking of which, I think this broke right before we went on the air. Your Buffalo Bills, since we're talking about New York area, I realize you're not a Bills fan. The Bills announced today that once they get back to full capacity in the stadium, that any fan who attends, they have to present proof of vaccine. Which, how is that going to work for, 70,000 fans?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Might have to like upload documentation and
right.
A lot of them, they have a lot of like season ticket holders. So I don't know. Maybe there's some way to fast track that or fast pass it if you're a season ticket holder and be able to like pre-upload stuff or get some sort of like access or app or band. Or like it would be for those common fans who scalp tickets or come in, but. At least if you're a regular season ticket holder and they have like diehards amounts that renew it, that might be a way to maybe cut that down. But man, you're gonna have to get there super early.
Yeah, but I also feel like I don't think it's going to go as smoothly as they expect it to, because you've been to a football game, I'm sure.
Several.
The security measures that are often in place are not exactly, shall we say, top quality.
Right.
You get a quick pat down to make sure that you're not clearly strapping a weapon to you. But I mean, it's nothing in depth. So I feel like you could flash a 3x5 index card with it to some folks that says I'm vaccinated on it. And they're like, oh, can't go on in.
Like in bench warmers. I am 12.
Exactly like that with the birth certificate. I feel like it's going to be a lot of that. Just I'm vaccinated. See, oh nope, too late. But I guess we'll find out soon enough. But
well, and then you throw in Bill's Mafia, so it's not exactly going to be maybe the most compliant. Or
what if I throw myself through a flaming table instead? Well, can we call it even then? I don't show you my vaccine proof,
what's but
I
jump dangerous? Through
a flaming table. Yeah. would a guy that's not vaccinated jump through this table? I think not. But, Mitch Trubisky's there now, so maybe they'll jump through the necessary hoops there. I don't know.
I say with the utmost respect, I am not a Bills fan, but I mean, I respect the culture. I respect the fans. I expect their diehard nature, and they are incredible. They are a special breed in the most complimentary way that could be taken. I mock them a lot. Although I can't really do that right now because the Giants have been historically terrible, but is what it is.
Yeah. I've grown fond of them over the years. Because I think when you have to eat a flaming bag of crap for as long as they had to after their Super Bowl non-success,
right.
You got to feel good for them at some point once they actually bounce back.
Yeah, I got to be also careful because I'm pretty sure my daughter's going to become a Bills fan, which is brutal.
Yeah. So
obviously, as we've established, we're doing a Tuesday night special. One of the things when we put this together, we realized we had some various Thursday night commitments over the next couple months. So we figured we knock out two birds with one stone here. One, give a different opportunity to expose ourselves, not literally, but to give us a chance to interact with folks on a different night of the week, but then also use this and some other stuff that we have already in the can to still air a show on Thursday. So it's what you hear on Thursday will be a lot of this, but it'll be a little bit added to it on top of that. So still tune in on Thursday if you make that part of your regular listening pleasure. And by the way, before I forget, in case you haven't seen, we have a dedicated Alexa skill now. If you listen to the station through Alexa before, you know, you might have had to jump through a couple hoops about open Life 365, do this, do that. Now we have a dedicated Pals for Life radio app. So all we have to do is say, Alexa, play Pals Radio. And when you do that, it will play Pals for Life radio. And it even has some other cool features, like you can ask Alexa what song is playing while you listen to Pals for Life radio. So if you hear a song, you're like, man, I used to love that song. I don't remember what it's called. Just ask and she'll tell you. It's a wonderful thing.
But you got to be careful because there is special wording to make it happen. It's like Jeopardy. Like, it doesn't count if you don't say what is beforehand.
Just ask.
Got to look it up, though.
And she'll tell you. It's... Sorry, I'm opening the window so I can see the comments. Yes.
Do you remember the phrasing off the top of your head?
For asking for the song, I don't. So while you do that, quick shout out to some folks in the chat. Hello to Amanda. Hello to Erica. Hello to Mitch Tappan, all the way down in New Mexico. It seems like our graduate school friends are gradually catching up with each other, which you always love to see. And as Amanda points out, she's actually in Texas, one of the states that have decided to just reopen their baseball stadium in full capacity. We did that in Seattle as well for the Mariners. We allowed the normal size 3,000. Attendance. Yeah. 3,000. So when they said we're going to open at 25% capacity, it's like, okay, well, guess we're back to normal for the Mariners. So
I won't say the first phrase that triggers it, because I do have one of those devices lingering over there, and then it'll probably start playing on the background and make for even worse radio. But it is Ask Pals Radio what is playing. So that's how you have to phrase it.
Yeah. So obviously not the most advanced system in the world, but we have our dedicated app now. So if you don't want to jump through those extra hoops of going through Live 365, then you can use our app specifically.
So what is the process for requesting a skill?
It's a lot of, as I hit something on my desk, it's a lot of bells and whistles. You go through the tubes on the internet. These things called skill development or software development kits and shiny things. That's one way. The other way is you pay some company based in the UK to just make it for you.
Okay.
And you provide them the details in the stream and they're like, okay, it's done. So we will see if that works. But yeah, give it a enable the skill if you have an Echo and give it a listen. So as somebody pointed out in the chat, and by the way, we want to talk to folks tonight. So if you want to chat with us live, if you're watching this, the number's on the screen. That is a real number, as we say every week, 669-369-PALS, 669-369-7257. So as pointed out in the chat, you know, where you and I and a lot of our friends are considered part of the millennial generation, we're middle-aged. Middle-aged, yeah. Millennials. That is a weird concept, is it not?
It is, but we're also, I mean, it depends, because like, aren't we considered like tweeners in a sense too? Like, depending upon where the research says we are, we're like or cuspers, or however you want to phrase it, were like tail end show characteristics of both.
I think some folks are on the cusp of Gen X. I think where folks get a little bit confused, at least in the national discourse, is the current crop of folks that are college age and a little bit younger. They're being lumped in as millennials, but that's a whole different generation. Yeah. So like when you're talking about, oh, millennials, they don't do this and they don't do that. Like, you're actually talking about Gen Z. We're millennials. Millennials are middle-aged with spouses and families and houses and probably working various jobs. But you know, we both turn 38 in October. Have you had okay, Mitch Tappan is Gen X. Thank you for clarifying that, Mitch. You're that we will not dispute. You're very much Gen X. Right. But have you had a moment over the last several years where you're like, man, I've really reached the point where I'm starting to feel middle-aged, like a physical thing? Or
it was like 3 weeks ago. Okay. So it's still to be determined of what it is, because it's like I'm also like a self-proclaimed idiot and will not go see medical treatment, and I'm trying, and my medical provider is making it super hard for me to do this. But I was sitting on the couch after a night of maybe having a few soda pops, and so sitting there
from watching, root beers,
yeah, something a little bit of those, yeah. Not your father's, you know, whatever.
But those it are was good, by the way.
It was a good night. I was hanging out, hanging out, you know, ready, just relaxing on the couch, watching something. Fell asleep. What I was watching, I forget what it was. It was probably some sort of binge that I was in, and just, you know, went to whatever. And I decided to get up out of the couch. And when I got up out of the couch to go up to bed, I put my forearm down and pushed up on the couch. And it wasn't exactly the most, like, it's stable enough. It's an act I've done for 37 years prior, no problem. Anytime I've gotten out of bed, you know, when you put your forearm on a not so stable surface, you know, push up, and never thought twice about it. All, and it's my dominant shoulder, had no problem whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, like, it just kind of gave out on me. Mm-hmm. And ever since, I've had like the worst, like, annoying, like, feeling, like, because it doesn't seem like it's a rotator cuff, like, tear. And I'm no doctor. I've WebMD this. I've talked to a bunch of people. It doesn't, like, it's not inhibiting anything I'm doing. I could still go to the gym. I could still do the things that I was normally doing, but it's just like sore all the time. And so it's just one of those things where, like, and every time I try to get up, like, it just, something doesn't feel right. So I know there's enough that there's something going on in there, but I just can't diagnose what it is. And I guess that was like the one moment so far lately that I'm just like, man, like, I can't bounce back like I used to, because it's been 3 weeks now that I've had this like nagging injury. And I've been trying to go, I went to the doctor. That's how I got my COVID shot. Because I went to the doctor to see my shoulder, and then he's like, hey, do you want to get your COVID shot? So sure. So it all worked out that way. But then, like, I've been trying to, I sent him a message, and like, so like our doctors now has apps, right? And you're supposed to send him a message in the app, and it says it'll take 3 days to get back to you. I haven't heard back since March 29th. And then I called the doctor's office, and then they got mad at me, and they're like, hey, we saw that you know, put a message in our app. And I was like, you know, he should be written back to you. I'm like, I put that message in March 29th. Like, you know, what do? I need to get some medical treatment further than what you're able to provide me, because you told me I'm fine, do these exercises and you're good. So I'm currently in this state of limbo where I know something's wrong, and it was a total normal act of life that totally went sour. But like, now it's making me second guess every time I get out of bed or get up off the couch. So yeah, that's been my current, like, man, I'm old.
I feel that. And my sister-in-law would like to inform you, she's a registered nurse, by the way, take some ibuprofen. So if you haven't been doing that, make sure to do that.
I was doing that and icing it. And then they gave me some special stuff that's more powerful and to no avail. But and again, I've also stopped going to the gym or playing hockey, except for
well, there's your problem.
Shows. The doctor said if it's not hurting, it hasn't gotten any worse. It just hasn't gotten any better. And the doctor told me to keep doing it as long as I throw these exercises in. He gave me, I should have voice recorded it. And he said, keep doing what you're doing if it hasn't gotten any worse.
Oh, geez. It reminds me of, I went through a phase as a kid where I don't want to say I was a hypochondriac, because obviously that's not something you just grow into or out of, but I went for a lot of different ailments, and it'd be like, oh, well, it hurts my arm when I do this. And the doctor would just be like, don't do that. Like, it hurts when I bend it this way. Don't do that. Okay, great. That'll be $20. Thanks. I'm sure my parents would have been, or they were not amused. But so for me,
what's your coming to age moment?
Well, it's built over time. So normally I would say my hair, but as you can attest to, cause we've talked about it over the years, like this has been a thing since I was 19. So, you know, my hair falls out a little bit more. It's like, okay, it's a Tuesday, whatever. So it's been about 10 years now where, and I know I've talked about my bad knee to various folks, for a lot of people, I haven't gone into the full story necessarily. I've joked about it, but so my first year out in Washington in Spokane, one of my coworkers got together a trip to a trampoline park, which at the time I had never heard of. It was this warehouse where they had these spring loaded trampolines that give you an absurd amount of height when you jump. And you do that
every part of
that
sounds awesome, right? Every part of that sounds awesome.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, that sounds great. Well, through the Evite, because that's how long ago it was, we were doing this via Evite, the coordinating. We started talking about who was going to get injured through this, because the entire group, we all felt in our own ways we were clumsy. So it was about who was going to do something and get hurt first. So I personally, over the years, I've broken an orbital bone getting hit in the eye with a golf club. Are you playing us?
I'm trying to mute so I can see the chat, but then I decided that it would not. The mute button wasn't working, so my bad. Bad radio.
It's cool. We can cut that out on Thursday. But I've been hit in the eye with a golf club because I decided to stand behind somebody as they swung. Infinite genius. I've injured my ankle doing gymnastics in gym class because that's exactly what I should have been doing. So finally I was like, if anybody's going to suffer a catastrophic injury on a trampoline park, it's going to be the big dude in the bunch. And, you know, just given my luck, it's also going to be me because of
so
that.
So you pretty much Babe Ruth called your shot.
I did. So we went there and it was fun. I will admit the pre-injury, it was an absurd amount of fun, but I should have paid attention when they had us sign the waiver, because basically how the waiver started out was, jumping on the trampoline can be safe or it can be fun, but it cannot be both. So that should have been red flag number one. Like, okay, you can be safe or you will have fun. And yes, Evite still exists, as Mitch pointed out. I actually went back, I downloaded the app and went back and looked at this conversation that I had 10 years ago.
A very Gen Z of him.
Exactly. Technology, Mitch, way to go. But went about an hour in, and there are these little kids on one of the trampolines near me. And I remember I was trying to jump up as high as I could to impress them for some reason, because, you know, I need the approval of random 12-year-old kids at the trampoline park. And I started doing like jumping splits, like rock star jumps, like, wow. And I remember I did it at one point, and as I came down, my knee twisted slightly to the left, to the inside. And I just felt this shift. And then I immediately felt, I just can't explain what the feeling is. It was just like, I was about to just vomit all over the place. Like, I thought I dislocated my kneecap. So I crumbled to the ground and I just started laughing, because I knew, I was like, I told you it was going to be me. Yeah. So I laid there for a minute. They put some ice on it. Then I stood up and tried to walk, and it just kept buckling. Went to the ER. Obviously, without an MRI, they can only do so much. short version of that, after an MRI later on, they determined that complete ACL tear and then partial tears of the LCL, PCL, and MCL. So I got to get that operated on. And unfortunately, I remember missing a certain person's wedding because of that, because you cannot, it is impossible to get on an airline seat. It was 4 weeks post-surgery, I think, when the wedding was. So when I started physical therapy, and I remember the therapist said, you know, if you do everything right, if you treat it well, you probably have about 20 years before it goes arthritic. And there have been times over the last 10 years where I have been good to it. But I'd say more often that I probably have not been good to it. But nowadays it reaches a point where, like, yes, out for the season. But I did recover in I think that's Kenny posting.
Probably.
I think I was cleared in 5 months, which was surprising, but yeah.
Further so injury. Now,
yes. But nowadays, like, it could be the simplest thing. Like, I took a step in the wrong direction in the wrong way, and like, it'll hurt for 3 days. And it's like, let me go lie down and ice it again. And I think the last time I went to the doctor, like, I was in immense pain the last time I went to the doctor about this, maybe 2 years ago. And she was like, do you remember what you did? It's like, no, I'm a clumsy person. So I might have done something, but if you're looking for that moment where I said, oh, I hurt my knee again, I got nothing. So even in her notes afterwards, I think she was questioning me a little bit, because, like, he says his knee hurts, but he doesn't know why. Complicated by the fact that the doctor was very attractive. I wonder if she was just thinking I was looking for excuses to go there, which was absolutely not the case. But yeah, a lot of that, a lot of, okay, my knee is locking up and I don't know why. Let me pick up this 2 pound paperweight. Nope, not going to get up for a while. Oh, to be almost 40.
But I mean, these are all, like, you know, very cut and dry, one experience, one offs. But I mean, I'm sure there's probably things, like, obviously you've mentioned we each have hair issues, right? That's mm-hmm. that's something that's showing age. It's like taste in music, like the fact that we are doing a throwback radio station because the music today is not that great, you know, like, it's,
yeah, let's do a throwback to the 2000s, which we're still convinced is last week.
I mean, it's like little things, like, you know, we're always thinking about these kids. Like, I feel like there's like probably a million things I say or do in my working in a college campus, walking around my neighborhood, that I'm like, I'm doing all these things that my father did, or like, I would be like, oh, I'm never gonna do that. Like, it's just,
yeah.
Over my
professional career, I've tried to make pop culture references just to seem maybe cooler than I actually am. And even those references are becoming dated now. Like, you know, even when you think of Rebecca Black, Friday, remember that song?
Yeah.
Like, even that was 10 years ago. So
it's crazy.
And you know, if you make a reference to, for example, Saved by the Bell, before this new version came out, you're talking about 1993. So most of the students we work with were not even a thought at that point, much less alive to watch it.
I mean, I think also part of the reason, I mean, and I know we haven't dove into our career much in this podcast, and I don't see that being this avenue, right? Like, I think keeping it, you know, what we do in our lives is, yeah, there's great reference points, but I mean, even for me, I think one of the other moments of me getting older, like before this, like, super aggravating, like, everyday task I did, like, one of the reasons why I pivoted out of, like, my role, and for those of you who know me, I was in student affairs, and I'm still in higher education, but I pivoted more to, like, an alumni development engagement type of role that was not so much a student focus. I think that's part of the reason why I also got out of it, was because I was getting older. I think there was this, like, there was... And my previous job before that, it was a great institution. It just wasn't the right institution for me. But I think a lot of that was kind of like, I helped found that. And it was exacerbated by the fact that, like, what made me really good, or what I thought made me good at my job, was that I always related to my students. So, like, the job before, I felt like I was crushing it. I still talk to some of those students today. They're still some of my best friends. Like, I've just maintained great relationships. I was old, but I was still kind of cool. It was my last job that made me realize, like, man, I'm now past my prime, right? And it was these very, right, very clear-cut moments where, like, I'm kind of only liking what I'm doing right now, only because I can still hang out with these students that I think I can still relate to and do it. And then when, like, that moment was when I didn't relate to them anymore, and it was very clear that, like, this is a very different experience than what I experienced, I was like, I saw my days were numbered. Like, I saw the writing was on the wall. It's time for me to pivot out of that job into either something higher where it's less student contact, or something out that I could still do what I'm doing, relay on what I was. And that I chose the out route because I felt like that's where my path was taking, what my passion was doing. But that was a very clear cut example for me. Like, man, like, this college experience is so different than the one that I couldn't even find, like, straws or resemblance of what it is. So I couldn't imagine what it's like to be a college kid today, with the pressures, the challenges, the social media, everything you do is recorded out for the public viewing. Like, it's a very, very, very different experience. As you know, you live it every day as well. And it was, for me, I just couldn't relate anymore. That was the other probably big moment in my life. Like, man, you're old. Get out.
Yeah. I mean, whenever, and it's more difficult now because I'm working remotely. But under normal circumstances, my office is right in the lobby of one of our housing facilities. And there's a TV there that the staff will play YouTube videos and stuff on with. So usually that involves kind of some of the latest viral trends and that sort of thing. So when they find something that I can actually understand and appreciate, like, I will latch on to that. Right. I will make that reference 500 times in your presence to make it seem like I actually am trying to stay in touch. And then they realize that's my only trick, and yep, I'm old and all that good stuff.
I had a good sense of humor about it. It's like, it sucks because, like, you know, you're the butt of the jokes. It's like that feeling when you walk in a room and everyone starts talking because, you know, like, oh, maybe they were talking about me. Like, they definitely were. Like, you just knew it was happening, and, like, I accepted that. Like, that became the reality. But I was like, this doesn't make me happy or whole.
Yeah, exactly. You want to take a quick commercial break and we'll come back? Oh, wait, yeah, sure. We don't have to do commercial breaks because we're on Facebook. We'll record something later to do a transition at this point. That's cool.
Again, we do have sponsors and we do have, like, music licenses and things we have to do. And
yeah, we've still got to get in our 4 minutes of advertising. But again, for those listening, call, please talk to us. We're lonely. Engage us in the chat, all those things. 669-369-7257. That spells PALS. I spent $5 to get this number because it had PALS and the number 69 multiple times because I am a 12-year-old in a 37-year-old man's body.
This is how we cope with getting old. We just do things like this.
Yes. I have the knees of an 80-year-old man, but I've got the soul and the maturity of a 12-year-old. So I think it evens out to about 37-ish. Don't do the math on that. Yeah.
So what's up? It's your man, Montel Jordan. This is how we do it. You got it locked on the Pals for Life radio, new internet radio station for the 80s, 90s, and 2000 hits, including yours truly, Montel Jordan. Listen live at palsradio.com because this is how we do it.
Do we want to cancel some things now? I think it's probably that time of the day. So let me cue up our intro for that because we know what time it is.
It's that time for Shane and Mike to cancel things that they don't like. Cancel Corner.
I love Fiverr. You can get anything on Fiverr.
Even followers.
Yes. I am amazed that we're at 1,015 likes on our group page now. Now, I will admit, some of those were inadvertently bought a couple weeks ago, but the last 300-400 or so are people who actually saw Montel Jordan or Pert Hapley and decided they wanted to like the page. So
Montel Jordan was money, dude. That was amazing. That was just one of the best like clips we possibly could have imagined for, because it was just perfect.
Yeah, now we need to raise the money so we can get NSYNC to do it. Because I think they're like $500 for each member of the group aside from Justin and JC. So if we can get Joey, I think we'd be fine.
Lance Bass.
Yeah, Lance would probably get a good following too.
For sure.
But yeah, so Cancel Corner. Welcome to the Cancel Corner. If you haven't tuned in before, you know, we talk a lot about cancel culture, quote unquote, in our society, where people get mad about the perception of canceling things. So we thought we would respond to that by canceling even more things. So Shane, I'll let you go first. What are you going to cancel this week?
I'll start soft. I'm canceling black licorice. So lately it's getting to the point where it's like a couple weeks after Easter. So like my daughter has had fair game of getting after her Easter candy. But lately, because it's been a couple weeks and, you know, dad's stealing like the leftover stuff that's there, there's way too many black licorice flavored jelly beans. And it's like, it's just trash, man. I don't know if you like that stuff. I don't know if I can be friends with you. It's brutal. I mean, it's like that Zambuca, like they are just very distinct flavors that are just ones that do not work with my palate, and they are absolute garbage. So I don't know why you have so many delicious and fruity flavors and you throw that crap in there. So it makes no sense to me. More power to you if you like that stuff. I mean, I just kind of view that as like, I don't like the olives either, but it's like olives and black licorice are two things in my life that, you know, I will not touch, and for good reason. But that's what I'm canceling this week. So out with myself for stealing my daughter's.
I think I went a little crazy there. Sorry. Finish your thought.
But yeah, out with myself for stealing my daughter's candy like every good parent does. But yes, canceling black licorice this week.
You've been canceled.
Okay, I'm going to cancel this week the term friendly reminder. If you have worked in a workplace, or if you've ever been late on pretty much anything, whether that's a bill, whether that's an assignment, whatever it is, you probably received a friendly reminder that you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And let's just own it. It's not friendly. It is somebody emailing you, sending you a letter, calling you to say, you did not do the shit I told you to do, and I am mad about it, and we're going to start charging you late fees, or I'm going to mark down your grade, or I'm going to write you up and put it in your employment file. It is never, a friendly reminder is never friendly. Like, can we just own that? Just call it a hostile reminder, you know? Like, hey, this is your hostile reminder that you suck at your job. Here you go. Great. Now we're on the same page. Let's not be friendly about it. But I feel like I, you know, over the years, I feel like I get a friendly reminder several times in a year, which probably speaks to how great I can be at my job. But yes, Will's got it. Passive aggressive reminder. That's exactly what it is.
Will Wells, super fan from the OG days.
Yeah, he's the OG fan. But yeah, friendly reminders are never friendly. They're passive aggressive at best. So if you send friendly reminders, stop it, because
you've been canceled.
My new one is bumping it up to your top of your inbox. That's my new way of saying it. Just, hey, just bumping this up to the top of your inbox.
I want to make sure you saw this. All right, what else you got? Right. Oh, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, my job is a lot of friendly reminders these days. So it's like, yeah, I got to do something. So I try to be cognizant of me using that language. But yeah, get it.
Now, because my campus uses Gmail. So I feel like Google does some of that for everyone. Like, you got this email 5 days ago. Would you like to respond? Have I responded? There's your answer. No, I'm good.
All right, so I'm going to cancel car shows and car show bros. Ooh. So I feel that they kind of go together. I have never been a car guy, by all means. But lately in Western New York, when the weather gets nicer, you can see a couple things happening. People outside wearing shorts when it's 60 degrees, because like that feels like Florida to us. You can see people riding motorcycles. You can see people going out on bikes. Like, there's a lot of activities that are outdoor, people just taking advantage of where it's a little colder for most of the country, but for like up here, like it's bad of honor how warm it is. But then the other thing you start seeing is lots of car shows popping up. And I've never, like I said, been a car guy, but when you have car shows, you have those like car show bro guys. And I just, there's never any doubt that like, I always, whenever I'm traveling to point A to point B around town, it always seems to be when a car show is starting or a car show is ending. So without a doubt, you get all these dudes who are just riding in these cars that are way more expensive and way faster than my car on the highway, just blazing down like normal 35 mile an hour streets or the highways. And they're in the fast lane until they decide to get off. And then they realize that they're too close to the exit and they cut off everybody in their way to get over there. They're just a bunch of a-holes. So like, I can't stand that culture. I don't like it. I'm canceling car shows and car show bros because I had multiple incidents this weekend and the first nice week in Western New York, and I'm over it.
You've been canceled.
Yeah, so if you all have things you would like to cancel as well, we will give you the bells and whistles. Feel free to call in 669-369-PALS. Again, that number is 669-369-7257. We will cancel anything and everything that you want to cancel, unless we don't want to cancel it, I guess.
I swear, this is not a fake number by any means.
This is a real number. Call it and find out. In fact, if you call it, you are greeted with my voice on the pre-recorded message. It is legit. We will get you on here and we will chat about whatever you want to chat about, canceling or otherwise.
So the person here going on car shows, just riffing for a second.
We have a caller. And if you're watching, it's going to mess up our picture. But we're going to give me just a second here. All right, caller, you're on the air. How's it going?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Shane.
Hey, Mitch. How you been, man?
So glad to talk to you.
It's been a hot minute.
I was getting an echo, so I had to turn off Facebook for a sec.
Yeah, no, it's we got a little bit of delay because of all the tubes that we have to go through. So do you want to cancel something or chat about something else? I know you have thoughts.
I want to cancel something.
Okay. Yes. Let me get my bells and whistles ready.
So how this goes is you all just riff for 20 seconds. So let it ride, my friend.
Okay. We need to cancel YouTube ads for movie trailers, game trailers, anything that's advertising something else. I don't need another advertisement to watch the advertisement.
Oh, that's fair. So it's like, do you want ads within your ads? No, we don't. I want to watch the ad that we came here to see, and then that's it.
Do you want to watch the new movie trailer for Yes Day on Netflix when I actually really just want to watch Godzilla versus Kong?
Exactly. I don't understand the YouTube and how that works, but it seems like I should be able to watch trailer that green.
I also like how you called it the YouTube.
Yeah,
I like to think of it back to when first, Facebook was the Facebook.
Yeah.
So we'll give that so ads within ads officially. Thanks to our friend Mitch. Officially canceled.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we are here for you. Other things on your mind?
No, it's just great that you guys are doing this and, you know, being able to, I've listened to your two shows on the podcast. So, you know, it's brought back great memories of my Clemson days and like, earlier, you talking about aging. It's nice that, you know, I'm not alone.
Yeah, and, it's
you know, other people share my thing.
It's quite the thing. Well, thank you, Mitch. It's always good to talk to you. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again here soon.
Thanks for listening. Stay well.
Yeah. You too.
All right. Take care. All right. Can you hear us, Will?
Yes, I can hear both of you, actually.
Will Wells, it is good to hear you. It has been, like, what, 13 years since your last call?
It must have been. Yeah, yeah. It's been a while. Hashtag this is 40. So
that's right. Did you just turn 40 this past year?
Yeah, January 9th, sir.
Man, happy 40th. How does it feel?
Well, like I said in the comments earlier, a couple weeks ago, I was only picking up a half full gas can, and my right knee just decided it wanted to catch for no apparent reason. I wasn't doing any weird gyrations with it or bending in an unusual manner. It was just, whoop, it just did it. But I have something I want to cancel. Right?
He said, no weird gyrations.
I was not twerking.
Not twerking? No, no weird gyrations. not twerking. Will Wells, not a twerker.
All right, what are we canceling here?
Well, here's the thing. It's not that I want to cancel it all. I just want to draw it back, like, a little bit. I just want everything to stop being pickled.
Yes.
Or pickle flavored.
Yes.
It's like, no, they pickled something that I'm like, no, I am not buying it. I have become an aficionado for the Midnight Moon moonshine people, the legit quote unquote moonshine. That's the only legit moonshine I like.
Right.
And they came out with a pickle flavor. And I'm And I'm like, I know Junior Johnson's dead and buried in the ground, but he would have definitely, you know, had a heart attack and died if he'd seen that. You know, I get you have apple pie and cherry and peach and raspberry and blackberry and all the fruity flavors. You know what normal people put in moonshine? Pickle is not normal. Stop pickling the moonshine. And it's also the worst pickle flavor dill. You know?
Are you a bread and butter person?
I am indifferent on bread and butter. Give me the sweet little gherkins.
Okay.
You know?
Full disclosure.
But it's not that I'm against all pickle. I'm against specifically dill pickle. If I go to Burger King, I tell them, leave off the pickles. I don't understand why the pickles on every chicken sandwich that's not a Chick-fil-A are ever so big. And like for instance, who is it that has the newest chicken sandwich out now? McDonald's.
Yeah.
Have you seen the pickle slices on that bad boy?
Yeah, I have.
My God.
I have a whole rant on the chicken sandwiches I'll save for a little bit. But yeah, it's of all the sandwiches I tried, that was the most absurd with those pickles.
It's like, would you like some chicken with your pickles?
Yeah,
I don't get how pickle goes with chicken. I just don't get it.
Did Cathy
have a moment where he just had an abundance of pickles and he's like, well, dang, we just got to get rid of all these pickles. Let's just put them underneath the chicken sandwich. Maybe nobody will notice. You know? And so.
I bet that actually is how it started.
Yeah, because nowhere in my life, I mean, in school, I'm talking elementary, middle, high school, in the cafeteria when it was chicken sandwich day. Was there a pickle on that chicken sandwich? No.
Nope.
It was a lifeless breaded fried chicken patty on a generic bun. The end. Here's your condiments. Have at it.
So it's safe to say you wouldn't like they make sandwiches in New York City delis, like I've seen on like Tasty and stuff, where it's just literally pickle buns. So those probably wouldn't be up your alley, I would assume.
No, it would not. I mean, somewhere on Twitter tonight, some dude was putting a Snicker bar inside of a pickle and eating it. And I'm like, okay, this madness has to stop.
That person should be arrested on the spot. They should be sentenced to life without a trial.
But remember, that person has the same voting right as you do.
That is, yeah, that's a fair point.
You know, we don't have poll tests anymore. Should we have pickle tests, are you saying?
I don't know about that, no, but...
On your scale of... I like them as a side to I drink pickled juice 8 ounces every day. It depends on whether you can vote or not. No, that is absurd. So
so I think it's safe to say that
I would like to dial back dill pickle everything.
All right. So so pickle everything, you have officially been canceled.
Hooray. It's good to speak with you guys again, and I wish you massive success with the new Pals for Life Radio.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Will. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for
all
calling.
Right.
An awesome phone number too. I'm glad you lucked into it.
Yeah, it took a lot of work to find it, so I'm gonna keep it for a while.
Yeah, all right. That's great. Have a good one, y'all.
You too. Bye.
Bye bye.
All right.
Full disclosure, I thought he said tickled. It like cut out like when he said it, and I was like, I want everything to be dialed back from being tickled. And I'm like, what the?
No, but he's right though. There's a lot of stuff that gets pickled that absolutely should not be pickled. Just get some pickle spices, throw it in a mason jar with whatever liquid and let it sit for 30 days. And yeah, not all things are created equal when it comes to pickling.
Yeah. Definitely thought he said tickled.
All right, so we've got some good things that we canceled this week. I think we're in a good spot.
Yo, what's up? It's your man Montel Jordan. This is how we do it. Got it locked on the Pals for Life Radio, new internet radio station for the 80s, 90s, and 2000 hits, including yours truly, Montel Jordan. Listen live at palsradio.com because this is how we do it.
As promised, we're going to go back to part two of our interview with Doug Davidson of Elements of Madness. Here we go.
Shane, other questions you have for Doug?
I think just going off of that, like, is there anything from this now COVID situation that we're in? Like, what lasting effects do you think it'll have in the film industry? Like, obviously, there's some hopeful things that you hope it makes it more accessible, especially in your line of work. But what changes do you think will stick? Do you see anything going away because of these new changes? Just in your eyes, what do you think the future is going forward?
Well, the one thing I can say is that theaters aren't going to be totally dead. I know that people have a lot of fears about that, but theaters survived the Depression, like an actual economic crisis. They survived the last pandemic that we had. They may take on a different form. I mean, some folks may not think about this, but in terms of what it was like to go to the movies, people dressed up in their formal wear to go to movies because it was a high-end event. It isn't what it is now in terms of the way people go. So I don't think theaters are going to go anywhere. But one thing I would hope would do is I like the idea of greater accessibility. I think the way that we look at films, is it great to be able to see a movie like, okay, Godzilla versus Kong? Is it, quote unquote, meant to be seen on my 43-inch television in my office? No. It has aspects shot for IMAX. It has aspects shot for 3D. I don't have an IMAX television, no matter how much I would want one. I do not have that kind of setup. So certainly there are aspects where it's like, whoa, you know, that Kong is huge and got, oh, his atomic breath. You don't necessarily get that sort of wallop, right? However, it's still a cinematic experience. If a movie's good, it doesn't matter what size of a screen you're watching it on. The number of times I've watched movies or TV shows on my tiny ass iPod, which is, you know, this tiny little guy at the gym. And I just get lost in whatever it is I'm watching because that's where my focus is. So I think the way that we think about how to appreciate cinema and it's all cinema. Even Return of the Killer Tomatoes is cinema. Plan 9 from Outer Space is cinema. It's Ed Wood. You know, even the lowest stuff, it's all cinema. It's just the way that we think about it. I hope that that aspect changes. I like the idea of being able to have the option of watch it at home or watch it in a theater. People with health issues like myself, or worse, that never get to go to the theater. You've got families that are spending $50 to $60 when they go to the theater to pay for tickets for themselves and their kids, whereas they can watch it at home. I mean, even spending $30 for premiere access on Disney Plus is still, for some families, cheaper than buying the tickets and going. So there's a lot of opportunities there. I understand that it is a business. And so the studios, particularly the big ones, need to be making bank in order to keep making stuff. I totally get that. So I have no answers. But one thing I'd like is continued access. I think that there's a place for stuff to be shown in theaters, which Netflix has been doing more and more, where they are putting stuff not only online, but in theaters, usually the awards contenders. But they're doing it with Army of the Dead, the new Zack Snyder movie that's coming out in May. It's going to hit theaters before streaming in some places. So I like that. I'm also a big fan of physical media, so I'm hoping that that continues instead of just relying on digital. But one thing I hope continues is an increased access and variety of options to watch things at home. I think that's going to benefit a lot of people in the long run.
It makes perfect sense. So you mentioned relationships earlier. I know not all your reviews have been positive, obviously. That's the nature of the work. Mm-hmm. How often do you hear from directors, producers, whoever, about a maybe not so positive review that you've written? Is it a rarity? Is it common?
Not about a review I've written. But it has happened with our contributors. Because sometimes, as you said, we are working directly with the creator, or we're working with part of the creative team, whether it's a producer or somebody else. It is the nature of the business. And that's why something that I strive for with myself and with my team, if we're writing a negative review, don't make it personal. This isn't about, I hate hot takes. I do. They drive me crazy because it's that recency bias. Oh, that's trash. That's great that you have an opinion that it's trash. That's not analysis. Criticism is analysis. Don't tell me it's trash. Tell me why it doesn't work. Trash is the shorthand for you don't have the words to explain why. If I want to explain to you why Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice is a bad movie, how much time you got? Let's have a conversation. We'll discuss the way that Zack Snyder has a tendency to lean on intertextuality to go, hey, this means something if you know what he's referencing, but he's not going to show you all the things that make that thing have meaning. Okay. So we could have that conversation. But when it comes to writing reviews, that's not what I'm interested in. So we have had people that have been unhappy. The one that comes to mind was someone who went, essentially, we've never gotten a response like this to a work of ours. I'm sorry that you guys didn't resonate with it. Thank you so much. Was very polite. Another person basically started yelling at me that I should go watch their movie. Because clearly whoever watched it doesn't know what they're talking about.
Ooh.
There you are. The trick is, though, when it comes to anything, once you put it out in the universe, anybody can say anything. I wrote a review for my favorite film now of the year. Came out of South by Southwest, a film called Violet, written and directed by Justine Bateman. Former actor, writer, producer, what have you. She's directed some other stuff. This is her first feature. I accidentally, and it missed it in editing, both by Crystal, who does the editing. Yes, she's not just a big supporter of EOM. She's also the head editor for the website. She is amazing. She is.
It's a family effort.
It is. Awesome. It is our website and our project, but it went past her. It went past me. I accidentally left out the E in Justine's the Bateman in the first sentence. Someone wrote a comment. It's still up there going typo in the first seven words. Good job. Yeah, that eats me alive. That eats me alive. They're not wrong. I mean, we have a critical process to catch these things. We all missed it. All missed it. So yeah, that's what keeps me up at night. Yeah, it happens.
So it's interesting that you mentioned the era of, or you mentioned hot takes, because we forgot to mention that this show is actually going to be held on Hot Take Thursday.
Well, it was lovely chatting with you guys. I'll see you later. Thanks so much for having me. I'm
complete
so
with our
did
complete
not mean with to our insult.
Oh no, it's cool. Not, we don't
that's
have
a hot that's
intro.
A hot take. Your oh, hot take oh, okay. is that you hate hot takes. So it's
we don't have it. Full circle. We don't have an intro for this or anything that I'm about to play.
You like it spicy.
And here I was thinking you were going to play, because of my reaction, the Mankind theme song, the car wreck. Whoops.
$10 well spent on Fiverr.
That's amazing.
Yes, that's one of the things that Amanda has done to be supportive of this endeavor is to not judge me for the stupid shit I've been doing and getting this up and running and promoting it.
What was it? Montel Jordan, that ad is amazing.
That was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
No bullshit. The day before I saw that, I've got a CD case in the car and it's got a bunch of stuff from actually undergrad at UNCA and whatever else. One of the songs was Something for the Honeys by Montel Jordan. And I was like, man, I haven't listened to this forever. Threw that in the car. And then I come in and there's the ad. Well played, sir.
Thank you. We actually, we classed it up a bit for the radio. So you just heard the actual him talking, but we have an actual, I'll play it real quick.
Oh, what's up? It's your man, Montel Jordan. This is how we do it.
You got it locked on the Pals for Life radio, new internet radio station for the 80s, 90s, and 2000 hits, including yours truly, Montel Jordan. Listen live at palsradio.com, because this is how we do it.
You know what's amazing is that he was the most affordable by far to do an ad. Like, everyone else is two and three times his price, and it's like Montel is smooth. You know, his voice is smooth. He sang in there. Yeah. I looked at one. I think it was Cisco that in his bio he says, "I will not sing." Like
Montel's putting in the work.
Yeah, he is. Good for him.
I mean, no, but seriously, that is a great ad. I've worked in radio. That is a great ad.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you.
Perfect for what we were looking for the station. So I was like, it was great.
That's why we play it literally every 15 minutes now. It is the only ad we have now, and I will run it into the ground. I don't care.
Do you guys have ad rates? Do you have ad rates?
We not yet. We take like $10.
I may talk. Maybe we'll talk later.
Yeah.
I don't have any ads.
Yeah. Let's chat. We'll cut this part out. I guess let's switch gears a little bit to talk about, I guess, looking back at some of the great films of our time.
Okay.
I guess, first of all, Mount Rushmore. What would be your Mount Rushmore of, let's say, favorite films as opposed to best films? Because I know that can be different.
It very much can be, because my favorite films are certainly not what anyone would consider the best. My favorite films, I've been very consistent with this. They match my personality very well. How many need? Three, four? What are we talking?
We'll do four.
Four? Okay. This is actually on my Letterboxd profile. It is Sam Raimi's Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
I absolutely love that movie. John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China. Richard Donner's Superman the Movie. And I've forgotten the name of the director for my fourth one. There we go. Guy Moisha, Bunraku. I love Bunraku. Saw it for the first time in Asheville, actually, at the Asheville Action Fest, which has not happened for some years, unfortunately. But yeah, those are my four. And those of you who know me, that very much fits in my personality. I've been a fan of Bruce Campbell in particular, who leads Army of Darkness for some time. The photo on Elements of Madness is when in my senior year of undergrad, I got to meet him with another mutual friend of Bowers and I's, Ryan Johnson.
Oh, Ryan.
Ryan Kepley. But we went and met Bruce Campbell during his book tour for If Chins Could Kill. And that is my Facebook profile picture. It is the only profile picture I've had on Facebook. And it is the picture I've got on Elements of Madness. If you want to see what I look like, though, it's from, you know, 2003. No, 2002. 2002 was Fall Break. So it's a little old. Like
just
me.
A tad. It's only a couple years old. Shane, what would be your Mount Rushmore movies?
Oh, wow. Off the cusp, not preparing that. Let's go. Spaceballs.
Nice.
Let's go Mean Girls.
Okay.
Let's go. Wow. Bad Radio. I'm just going to throw two more that I can think of.
All right, we'll cut it out.
Let's see. We'll go Miracle.
Okay.
And I need an action one in there that I liked growing up.
Bad Boys. That was so weird. I don't
know. Bad Boys is a good one. Bad Boys is a good one. But I'll probably go maybe probably one that I watched with my dad. I think I like what do you call it? Enemy Mine.
Good choices.
Nice choice.
I dig it.
I haven't seen Enemy Mine in decades. That's Dennis Quaid, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Right on.
I guess since I asked the question, it's only fair to
say, Mike, come on. What you got?
Let's see. We're going to go. Furious 8.
Wait, Fate? Fate
yeah,
of
that's
the Furious?
Fate of the Furious. the South Park movie. Trying to think of a third. I've got the other one. Trying to think of what else.
Not surprised about South Park. Good pull though.
Yeah. Man, what would be another one? I'm gonna re-record this later.
Yeah, I gotta drop in like four that I didn't have to really think about. Like I should have known. Like, oh, we're gonna talk to somebody about movies. I probably should think of my favorite ones.
It's fine.
Ninja Turtles
judgment from me whatsoever.
Ninja Turtles is definitely up there.
Nice.
The original
one or Secret of the Ooze.
I like them both a lot. One probably gets the spot just because it was edgier. I mean, like I said, two was great in its own right, particularly for Kevin Nash as Super Shredder. But
wait, really?
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, Kevin Nash was Super Shredder.
Okay, so what you're telling me is on my next free night, I have to watch Secret of the Ooze.
Absolutely.
That's what you're telling me.
Yes.
Okay.
Looking at an autographed picture of Kevin Nash right now, actually.
Nice.
There's two Shane Michael Ryan. Kevin Nash.
Really?
Yeah.
Dig it.
That is fantastic.
Man, I can't think of a fourth. Probably Avengers. Let's say Endgame. And that one was, I mean, obviously I don't feel very strongly about that one, given the time it took me to come up with it, but. Actually, no. We'll take that off. We'll take that off. Black Panther. We'll put Black Panther on there.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
So South Park, Black Panther, Ninja Turtles, Fate of the Furious.
Fate. Ugh. Really? Out of all of them? Why Fate? I'm just curious. No, literally no judgment if that's the one you're going to go with. But why Fate?
Because of the one scene where they're on the ice and the torpedo gets fired at The Rock's car and he leans out of the car, grabs the torpedo, and throws it back towards the bad guys.
I forgot about that.
When I saw that in the trailer, I was like, I've got to watch this. I am going day one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Out of those movies, I think five is my favorite. Fast Five.
Five was where I got into it because I think largely because of The Rock, but that was actually the first one I saw.
Cause that really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I saw the first one at Bowcatcher, but that was before you started school. Cause you were a couple years behind me.
Yeah. But,
cause what, that was like our junior sophomore year, right? That one came out.
Which one? The first one?
High school? Yeah.
Yeah. I think we probably would have been in high school. Yeah.
It was the end of high school. I remember seeing it around in high school and, you know, having the soundtrack and everybody, all of our friends have it, like putting lights under their car. Cause they thought that was the thing.
That was the thing to do.
Yeah.
That was the thing to do. By the way, Mars, while you were looking that up or you were trying to figure that out, Kevin Nash's first thing, according to IMDb, 91 Super Shredder. Guess I'm going to have to watch that and then John Wick.
A little side rant on that, by the way, real quick. It still boggles my mind that because he was wrestling in WCW at the time, mm-hmm. that you have somebody that had, albeit a minor role or a short role, I should say. It was pretty major in the plot line in, you know, a popular movie like that. And they never did anything with it. Like, I mean, I guess this was still when kayfabe existed and, you know, wrestling was real and all that. But you figure they would have like tried to find a way to be like, hey, this big bad guy that currently we have wrestling as Oz was actually a giant ass shredder in a Ninja Turtles movie. But
I feel like that would be something that, and I don't remember it, but the documentary that's on Netflix, I think it's part of a series that of things with the toys.
Yes.
Because they cover wrestling and just probably in the 90s, the way that they were looking at that stuff, they probably wouldn't have made the connection like they would now. The synergy wouldn't have been there. Because, I mean, it's the Ninja Turtles. They didn't even think that was going to be a big seller, either as a comic or a movie.
Did you watch the Turtles one specifically?
That made any money is ridiculous.
Did you watch the Turtles episode specifically?
Yes. Yes, that thing was brilliant too.
Yeah.
I had no idea
that Chuck Lorre performed the song.
The theme song. Like, this is why you gotta watch documentaries, folks. Documentaries are great. Learn all kinds of stuff about the world.
Yeah. All right. So since we're into power rankings, Shane, I know you had one you wanted to run by Doug.
Yeah, okay. So I think Nick Cannon is one of the most underappreciated artists of our generation.
Are we wilding out?
Generation. Are we were wilding out. The guy is immensely, immensely talented. So I want you to power rank these Nick Cannon movies for me. Roll Bounce, Underclassmen, and Drumline.
Okay, because out of all of those, I only recognize one title, Drumline, and not just because I have the drum battles on my iPod. But Drumline is number one. Out of the things I've seen Nick Cannon do, and unfortunately, over the last few months, he said some things that did not sit well with me. But Drumline is still peak. I have nothing on the other films. Got nothing.
High five. Yeah,
I'm not even going to pretend.
Didn't miss much.
Not even going to pretend.
Roll Bounce just had Little Bow Wow in it. That's the only thing really had going for it.
Was he still known as Little Bow Wow then?
Or was he regular size Bow Wow?
Because he did switch it up when he got older.
Yeah.
Well, I think that does segue into what you had, Mike, right? Pretty well.
Yeah. So we're going to end this segment with a little game. We're bringing it back. I think the last time I did this was actually in 2003. It's called Name That Rapper, where I'm going to, since I know
Please
you
tell
like
me you're
going to
have
well.
Like a Snickers bar or something. It's the only shot I got.
And you're a music guy. Okay. And so we're going to combine the two genres here. I'm going to name a movie.
Okay.
And you're going to guess which rapper was in that movie.
Okay, so we're talking like Cradle to the Grave, DMX.
Yeah, right, something like that.
Okay. Ooh,
sad, DMX.
Yeah, I hope he's not dead by the time this airs. That's...
But yeah, it would be nice.
We'll get ratings!
Might have to cut this part out. all right, God, so...
It's just devastating. It's just devastating.
It's awful. It's... Anyway, on that note...
Sorry, didn't mean to bring things down. It was just fine. The first one that came to mind. That's such a fun movie.
It is. And that song, Go to Sleep, is,
yes,
is great.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Eminem did that one, right?
That's true. Yeah, Eminem, Eminem, DMX, and Obie Trice.
There we go.
Yeah. All right, so I got five movies here. Rapper in every movie. You got to name the rapper for each movie. All right, we're starting off with an easy one, I hope. Tank Girl.
Say it again.
Tank Girl.
Faint Girl?
Tank, right?
Like the war machine tank.
Oh, Tank Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Ice-T, man.
That is correct.
Yeah, of course it is. I fucking love that movie. I
probably
you want me to pull up the soundtrack? It's on my iPod.
No, that's fine. I'll
take
the
collector's edition from Shout Factory downstairs. It's so good.
I believe you. All right. So you're one for one. That's good. Woo. We're off to a good start. Okay. All right. So number two.
Theaters.
All right. Next up, 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Okay. Hold on. 3,000 Miles to Graceland? He must have been one of the Elvis impersonators that got taken out early. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Give me a minute, because, you know, dead air makes for good radio.
No, because it's not dead air. It's not just dead air. It's
yeah, I know.
That tension of what is this dumbass going to come up with? And the answer is nothing, because I do not remember. I don't remember.
You want to take a guess?
Okay, so that was Kevin Costner. It's no, not Kevin. Wait, was Kevin Costner in that? Or am I thinking of Kurt Russell? And David Arquette was in this. There was, I feel like, Christian Slater and a bunch of other folks. They may not have made it.
Kurt Russell and Kevin Costner.
So I was right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. None of them are rappers. I got nothing. I got nothing. Not even a guess. Not even a whammy? You couldn't give me a whammy sound? Man.
I didn't have that downloaded yet. The correct answer was Ice-T.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Ice-T was in 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Got nothing. And he was also in Tank Girl.
Yeah. All right. Number three. You're one for two. Still doing okay.
All right.
Clinton Road. Like Bill Clinton.
Fun fact, that's in my hometown. That movie was made on around my hometown in New Jersey.
Right on. I don't even know the name of this movie. I have no idea who's in it, what it's about. I'm now one for two. I wish desperately.
I'm no so guess? Sorry.
I failed you, Bowers.
All right. The correct answer was Ice-T. All right, fine. So you're one for three.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I may have figured out your game, and this is the kind of bullshit I would pull on somebody. Okay.
All right.
Come on.
Movie number four.
Okay.
Leprechaun 5, In the Hood.
See, I want to say Ice-T because that's what the last three have been. But then I feel like you would throw in some sort of like, I don't know, Ice Cube or something else just to fuck with me.
Does that sound like something I would do?
Yes. In the Hood?
Leprechaun 5, In the Hood.
If Adam Frazier ever were to listen to this, he would be devastated right now. He'd be.
Which, by the way, I didn't know there was a Leprechaun 2 through 4.
Yeah. Yeah, so many of them. So many of them.
I knew there was a five solely because it was called In the Hood. Only one I watched out of the after the first one.
Okay, because I feel like you'd probably mess with me. I'm just gonna say Ice-T because I haven't watched any of the Leprechaun movies.
That is correct.
Ah, what a lucky guess!
That was a great guess. You did it. You're 2 for 4. All right, last one. Let's see if you can finish above 50% here. And this is a good movie. New Jack City.
I've only seen parts of that movie. I was too young for it when it was on HBO, and I've never returned to it. Ah, I'm a disappointment to Daryl. Daryl is probably going to kick me off as a co-host. Thomas Manning is finally going to get my spot. That son of a bee. This is how he's going to do it, because I don't know my rappers. I'm just going to say Ice-T because that's been the last four answers.
That is incorrect. Ice-T was in that movie, but the correct answer we were looking for was Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav! Of course he was in it. Makes sense. So, it was New York.
So not
were any of the other members of Public Enemy?
I don't think so. But it's hard to find a movie that has Ice-T and another rapper, I found out. There was one with Ice Cube as well, but I thought that'd be a little too mean. But two for five, not bad. You did pretty well. I think there's some growing to do here. I think you need to expand your horizons a bit.
That is all I literally do is try to expand my horizons. In fact, when I decided in 2016 that I was going to really focus and take this seriously and really write, I decided then I had to start watching horror movies, and I am very not comfortable with horror movies, particularly when they get really gory. Like, I could watch the first Saw movie, but anything after Saw 1, I don't think I can handle, because it's just, how do we rip people apart? And right. There's nothing about that that is pleasant for me. So it's part of the reason why Army of Darkness is on my list, because it's not a horror movie. It's a frickin' Three Stooges movie with zombies. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Okay, so I need to watch some more movies with rappers is what you're telling me. You got it.
Yeah, I think that would be good. So before I wrap
those
up.
Movies from the late 90s and early 2000s. Those.
Yeah, that's what our station's about. 80s, 90s, early 2000s. If it came after that, we don't recognize it.
I got to check out Clinton Road. You put that back on my radar. I totally forgot that movie came out.
Because it was shot in your hometown, Shane, I will go see if I can get it through Netflix on their disc stuff, because I still get the discs.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
I do. Not everything is available streaming. Physical media is amazing. If my internet goes out, I can still watch movies.
That's fair. I have benefited quite a bit from your disc purchases, so I encourage you to keep getting digital or keep getting physical, so I can get the digital.
when it's something I already have on digital, of course, share the wealth.
Before we go, I know we've talked about your website and your podcast, but do you want to give an actual plug for where people can find you?
If you've made it this far and you'd like to see what my writing is like, or any of the members of my team who are really wonderful and talented individuals that don't just write for me, they also have other folks that they write with or take part in. But my website is elementsofmadness.com, written exactly as it sounds. From there, you can listen to episodes of the podcast I take part in, The Cinnamon. They're all on the website. If you want to see me also look like an idiot, you're more than welcome to look at some of the episodes of Meet Me at the Movies that I've attended, television broadcast on C19 TV here in North Carolina. The host of it, Noel T. Manning, and co-host Thomas Manning, have been kind enough to invite me on to embarrass myself a few times. So there's wonderful stuff there. We've also got, if you just want to keep up on movie trailers that are for big films and little films, featurettes, film clips, stuff like that, we've also got a YouTube channel for Elements of Madness. So all of the links are on the website, Twitter, Instagram. We don't do TikTok, mostly because I don't have the time. I've got two children and a website to run. We don't have any social media manager beyond myself. But yeah, elementsofmadness.com, and you can find me and all the wonderful contributors that are there.
Yeah. Doug, thank you so much for coming on. You want to do it again sometime?
Yes, I would be delighted to. Mostly just because this is about as social as I get, so I apologize for talking too much. I'm not used to people other than those I've either married or sired. It's very strange. So I think I get excited and I run at the mouth, so I apologize.
No, it's fine. We appreciate
awesome.
It.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Doug Davidson, Elements of Madness, here on the S&M Show on Palace for Life Radio. We will be right back.
Yo, what's up? It's your man, Montel Jordan. This is how we do it.
You got it locked on the Pals for Life Radio, new internet radio station for the 80s, 90s, and 2000 hits, including yours truly, Montel Jordan. Listen live at palsradio.com, because this is how we do it.
We talked about our four favorite movies. And, you know, we are our Mount Rushmore of movies, if you will. And I think I might have to revise mine now that I think about
it. I had buyer's remorse.
Yeah. I feel like even though I came up with the question, I put myself on the spot with it. And I regret my choices. So let's
remind the people what we're, well, actually, never mind. They'll hear it in the interview, so we can cut that part out. So what would you revise to?
I think my original four, it was the Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay.
South Park, Fate yep. of the Furious. And I think the part I was struggling with was the fourth one. I think I went Avengers Endgame on that
Yes,
one.
You did.
Oh, no. I think I switched it to Black Panther.
Okay.
I remember now. Turtles, Black Panther, Fate of the Furious, and South Park. I think I would revise it now that I've had more time to reflect. I think I would go Fate of the Furious as my one of my top four. Probably would go Fast and Furious 6 okay. as my second movie. Probably Fast and Furious 7 as my third favorite movie. And then probably round it out with Fast 5. So yeah, all-time favorite movies for me, my Mount Rushmore movies. Basically, Fast and Furious 5, 6, 7, and 8. That is 4. I feel good about that. What about you?
So do you have any real buyer's remorse, or are you just going to go with those?
No, I mean, I've seen them all. I mean, if it's Christmas, I'd throw in Die Hard. But, you know, for when you're just talking about overall four greatest movies of all time, Fast and Furious 5, 6, 7, and 8. I think ever since The Rock has come on board, that is taking that franchise to a new level. Yeah, but it's funny. Have you seen those movies? Particularly like definitely 8, maybe 7. Have you seen those at all?
I think in 8 and 7 and 8 is where I kind of just like dialed out, where it's just like, I just, you know, I canceled Carbros, man. Like it was too much for me.
So 8 was absurd on multiple levels, and I think we talked about this in the interview, but there's the one scene where they're racing away on ice, and the bad guys shoot a missile at a car that has The Rock and Tyrese in it, which that in itself is kind of funny in hindsight, given how much they hate each other now. But, Rock leans out of the car, grabs the missile, and just throws it back at the bad guys, and they all blow up. I mean, they put that in the trailer. So when I saw that, I'm like, holy shit, this movie is going to be so bad, but yet so awesome. I'm all for it. But in the eighth movie, and there might've been some scenes in the seventh, like this is really when Vin Diesel and The Rock were not, like, they just hated each other. So especially in the last movie, I don't think they filmed a single scene together. Because whenever they're in the same scene, you only see one of their faces and you see the back of the other person. So, as I understand it, cause I think there were reports on it at the time, they would film stuff with Vin and film stuff with Rock, and they'd have a stand in whenever the other one was on set, and they had to splice it up later.
That's crazy.
Like, imagine hating somebody that much, but also having that much stroke that they would actually like entertain that concept. Like if you and I were working together and one of us went to a boss and said, you know, if I said Shane is an asshole, I refuse to work with him anymore. They'd say, all right, I'll see you later. But to be able to go to the producers or whoever and say, you know what, I will do it, but I will not be on screen or I will not be in the same place with that guy. And they're like, sure, we'll figure it out. But I think my top four will update once Fast and Furious 9 comes out.
Right.
Because supposedly that's when they're going to space.
Nice.
And I don't know how they're going to do it. It will not make sense.
Those put them in separate rocket ships.
Yes. But I am all for it though. What about you? You did mention, I know one of your four and you, seem to have, regret on that in hindsight.
Yeah, I got a couple. So like, I feel like, but in order to keep up, I need to do like all three Star Wars prequels and then add like the House Bunny. Cause I wanted a comedy in there to keep up with your list.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, no, I think the two I had possible buyer's remorse on. So like, my four for those, just as a refresher, was Spaceballs, Mean Girls, Miracle, and Enemy Mine. And I think the last two were the ones where I was struggling with because I knew I needed to have like some sort of a sports movie on there for me. And I just kind of, and I overlooked possibly the greatest sports movie of all time. And like, when I realized it was the 28th anniversary the other day of The Sandlot, like, I was like, how did I miss that one? And at the time when I was on the spot, I was like, oh, it's either Miracle or Mystery Alaska, because I like those as hockey movies, but I should have gotten Sandlot. So I probably would replace Sandlot with Miracle, because that's probably like one of my favorite movies ever. And then probably Enemy Mine I put on there because I wanted, like, a lot of my growing up was watching movies with my dad. So I put Enemy Mine on there for that reason. But like, thinking back on that one, and I like that movie a lot. I think there was maybe two others that I was like overlooking. And mm-hmm. I think the one I forgot that I would probably bump it off with is The Last Starfighter. I thought I liked The Last Starfighter a little bit better than Enemy Mine, or Flash Gordon if I wanted to get weird with it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. The other piece with our movie discussion was, and I don't want to spoil it because it's fascinating radio, but our friend Doug, he dabbles in musical interest. Obviously, he's a film critic, so that's his main thing. But we decided to press him on, we gave him a movie that had a rapper in it, and he had to guess what rapper was in the movie. He did okay, but one of the movies we mentioned was Clinton Road, and you went back and watched that recently, right?
Had to. So for those of you who are listening who don't know where I'm originally from New Jersey. So Clinton Road is actually a road that was probably a 5-10 minute bike ride from my house. So the Clinton Road is this road that put my part of town and connected kind of the highway. So you could go all the main routes through town, or this is the back way that went through New Jersey watershed properly. So it's like 10 miles of just straight woods. Out there, Barnum and Bailey, the circus folks, built like this old castle in the middle of nowhere. And it's all like in rubbles out there. But there's this point where the road goes for like 5 to 6 miles. And then there's like a really sharp, like close to 90 degree turn that you have to slow down and like go into and then go over there. And they call it Dead Man's Curve. Mm-hmm. Because it's pretty much a spot right there. And like, there's various legends of what happened, but the lore behind it is that there was this boy who died there. And that if you go there at midnight and throw a quarter off the bridge, when you go back to your car, because it's dark, there's no lights, there's nothing. It's just straight 10 miles of just wooded, dark road. It's paved, but you would go back to your car and wherever you got that quarter from, the quarter would be there like cold and like wet. And you're just supposed to be like, this whole freaky spot. So like we did, of course, high school kids, we did it all the time. Never actually happened, but it's like supposed to be one of the most haunted places. And like, for those of you who are interested, like there's this whole site called Weird New Jersey that there's a lot of cool haunted sites in New Jersey, and they featured it. But they decided to make a film that Ice-T starred in with
yeah, you may notice that there's a theme to the movies we quiz Doug on.
Right. So Ice-T stars in this big load of steaming pile of crap, but this movie was so bad.
But I had to watch it because it was like my hometown. Like my wife was sleeping next to me. She almost had to get up and tell me like multiple times to like shut this off because it was just so absolutely terrible. And like, I can't even put into words how bad this movie was, but I couldn't stop watching just because I needed to see how it ended. And it was just, it made no sense. It was brutal. So I if you want something to just kind of laugh at for pure how terrible this movie is, feel free to watch it. But I, yeah, not a fan.
Yeah, that's kind of how Amanda and I felt with, not to that extent, but I think we talked about this last week, but with Howard the Duck, like that was our first date, was watching Howard the Duck with some bootleg we got from, that we imported, but we connected because we seemed to remember that Howard the Duck was this amazing movie from our childhood and it just sucked.
Right.
So yeah, some things don't hold up. With the benefit of hindsight.
But I mean, there's some of those crazy ones that you just, you know, they're cult classics, like, you know, Garbage Pail Kids and like some of these other things that like, I mean, Howard the Duck was like kind of like, it was definitely a cult classic movie, but you can appreciate it for at least that.
Yeah, no,
Snakes on a Plane. How did that not
make sense? Oh my God, how did we forget about that? That was how we initially bonded, was Snakes on a Plane. We went to the opening night. We went to the opening night on Thursday night.
Yep.
And it was amazing. And it might be one of the few movies that made the trip out to Washington with me. I think it was one of the last DVDs I got. Which, that reminds me, I think I still have your 24 season 4 DVD collection somewhere here.
I got a bunch of old wrestling DVDs that we got free from TNA.
Oh, God. That was something else. But yeah, that was quite the movie too. That and when we went to see Borat, man, different time. Back when movies were a thing. So I think we're about at the end of our time, and even though it's Tuesday, just like every week, we want to leave on a high note, honoring those who have upheld the highest of douchiness. So with that. Douchebag of the Week brought to you by us, because we don't have any sponsors, but you can donate at our GoFundMe, which is posted on our Facebook page. Donate at least $100 and we'll send you a free t-shirt. So everybody that I'm sending a t-shirt to for free, because I felt like it.
You're not obligated.
You're not obligated, but you know, if you want to pony up a little bit.
With the beak?
Yeah. Well, wet the beak, that's fine.
It's all going to provide cool stuff like Amazon skills.
Lance Bass
as a cameo and other cool, amazing promotional opportunities.
We kid, there's no requirement for those who are getting t-shirts from me, but
wear it proudly and get more followers, because we need to hit 2,000 to get some more cool stuff.
Yeah, by getting to 2,000 likes on our page, we unlock some other features. We're a little over halfway there within a couple weeks, so we're gonna as we can swing it, we're gonna keep trying ads and bringing more people in. We'll see how it goes.
And if anyone wants to be like a brand ambassador of sorts, basically just help us get more followers. Let us know. Hit us up in the messages. We have possible some opportunities for you to help.
Yeah, I think we have some ideas that'll help us build. So anyway, douchebag of the week, Shane, who you got?
So I didn't find any names, and of course my sources is probably really lame. But since we're doing it on a Tuesday, the coffer wasn't as stocked as it normally is of douchiness.
That's
in the
fair.
Week.
Yeah.
But I did find on, I think it was like either HuffPost or Mirror UK, like one of these UK sites. Evidently there's like a Am I an Asshole forum on Reddit. And so they were featuring this Am I the Asshole forum. And so this week's nominee is this sister who I believe she's an older sister and has a younger sister. And so I guess they, in this whole forum she was posting, that she's about to have her second kid. And so I guess her and her sister had two grandparents, obviously two grandmas that they do, and they had a great close relationship. So her goals, the oldest daughter, was to name her kids after the grandparents. And so when she had the first one, I guess the sister got a little bit mad because she named it after the one grandparent. And then the second one she was going to have, she was about to have another kid and was publicly told her sister, who's also pregnant and got pregnant 5 months earlier, that she was thinking of naming her second daughter after the other grandma. And the daughter got mad, or the second daughter got mad that she was going to do this and asked her to change it, because she was thinking of, like, I guess the name was Rose, and she wanted to name the baby Rose. And so she asked her to change it. So, and they were arguing over whether they could have the same name, which would probably be a little weird if you had two cousins the same name. But anyway, so they argued over this. And so she changed it. And then she's like, okay, for a couple of weeks later, I'm going to name it Rosalie. And the other sister was happy, thought it was great. And then the sister had her baby 5 months earlier than the other one, and she named the baby Rosalie instead of Rose.
Oh,
after asking to change it. So that is my nominee. It's probably a fake story on Reddit, but I mean, it is. I mean, naming is stressful. Like, when you have a kid and you do stuff like that, it is super, super stressful. And family dynamics are always interesting, no matter what family you're in. So, like, I mean, it understands, but yeah, that's just another level. When you ask her to change it, and then you tell her you like the name that you changed it to, and then you steal it.
Yeah, it's like they Debo'd the name, like Debo from Friday.
Yep,
it's like my name now.
Yep, exactly. I mean, what can you do, right? The papers are signed, and now you're screwed.
Yeah, now you're just forever an asshole, forever a douchebag. So, I've got two. I actually had one, and then when you mentioned the "Am I the Asshole" forum, it reminded me of one I really, really like. So I'll go with the lesser one first. Jesse Kelly. I actually, and I'm not trying to be, funny or whatever here. Assuming he's a political pundit of some sort, I'm not really familiar with what he does, but he decided to go on a thing this week. Tweeted, "I can't believe there are men out there who don't know how to work with their hands. I woke up this morning and built a shed for the backyard," which when you hear that, it's like, okay, well, good for you. But he posted a picture of the shed that he built. And it's one of those plastic
ones.
Yeah. Like you buy at the hardware store and put together real quick.
Step instructions at Costco.
Right. It's like, you know, good. You can follow directions, but on the achievement scale of 1 to 10, that's about a 1.5. Yes, sir. I too get raging boners when I put together a plastic shed. That's for being weird. But the other one,
I mean, an IKEA furniture is more of a badge and honor, because like throw those directions out the window. That stuff's crap, and you're just gonna have to figure it out and jimmy rig it yourself.
Yeah, I will say though, the new desk I have for my office, I did not follow the directions, and it clearly shows, because you have things pointed in directions they're not supposed to point in. But then I said, you know what? It works. It's functional. We'll stick with it. So the other thing that I was reminded of as you were talking was a post from earlier this week from the Reddit "Am I the Asshole" forum. And I'm just going to read this because it's really that amazing. So the subject heading is, "Am I the asshole for telling my girlfriend I don't have time for chores?" We are off to a very, very good start with this one. It says, "This is a throwaway for obvious reasons. Before you get mad," always, again, another red flag here. Right. Let me now explain, and I apologize for the formatting since this is on my phone. Okay, whatever. It says, "So I, a 36-year-old male, was in the Army for several years. After I got out, I started community college to become an engineer. I'm currently working part-time at a job that requires physical work. And when I come home at noon, I do my two classes until 4-ish. They both meet every day for an hour and are pre-recorded videos since I can't attend classes during the day. It usually takes me longer to get through each video since I also take notes. Afterwards, I mainly do my homework because we have a ton of homework. I'm always exhausted at the end of the day because of my job and the fact I go to school." Okay, so far you're basically describing most college students' experiences.
Right.
You know, I'm assuming that this job is an early morning job or that sort of thing. So, right. You know, certainly I want to empathize with that. But, you know, there's lots of engineering students out there that have to take notes, attend classes, do other things.
It's not exactly an easy major. It's kind of rigorous.
Yeah, yeah. But he goes on, says, here's the thing. Engineering classes are hard. Like, really hard. Calculus and shit. I don't have time to cook and clean around the apartment. Here's where it gets really good. My girlfriend, 33-year-old female, on the other hand, works from home. Are you ready for this part?
Yes.
He's a full-time PhD student, works part-time as a research assistant, and is working full-time, but she does all of this from home. She has time on her hands, yet she keeps insisting on me helping her cook and clean around our apartment. I tell her I don't have time and that I don't care for her to cook for me all the time. Just focus on herself. I can find my own food. But now she's upset because she feels like she puts in all the efforts in this relationship and apartment to make it home for us. We both moved to this city when I was still in the Army and do not live close to family members. Am I the asshole for telling her I don't have time for chores? I feel like her workload isn't as exhausting as mine, and it's only fair that I focus more on my classwork since I feel I am behind because of my age. Meanwhile, she's already well into her career, but is getting this PhD when she already has a good enough paying job. So am I the asshole? But first of all, yes, you are. I'm sure there are things. I mean, I'm sure there's an inferiority complex there because, you know, you're non-traditional age student trying to get caught up. I get that. But at the same time, you're working part-time. You're taking two classes. They're not live classes, so you could work those around your schedule.
Right.
So you could still do these other things. And if you're just being asked to clean and do some things here and there, when you're in a relationship, I don't think that's a big ask. Like, Amanda does a lot here. And she expects certain things of me. We work the same types of jobs. We work the same, roughly the same number of hours every week. But, you know, I would never think to go to her and say, oh, well, you know, this arrangement just isn't working for me because I'm too tired. She would laugh in my face and I'd probably be sleeping on the couch. So when I saw that, it was like, okay, this is some real gall initially. And when you get to the part where it's like, she's a PhD student, also a research assistant, also working full time. Like, what? Yeah, she's at home, but she's working at home. It's not like she can just say, okay, well, while this meeting's going on, I'm going to go clean the house. No, doesn't work that way. Sorry.
So. And you know, I mean, relationships and life and living together, like, you know, it changes you. It's different. Like, people are meant to be together. They're not meant to be together. And it never bodes well when you start, like, keeping tabs, right, on, like, what others are doing. It's just relationships are messy. Life is messy. This has thrown a lot of things out the window. Like, would he be still complaining about the same thing if it wasn't the current situation that they were in? It would probably be worse because she'd probably have way less time to do anything. And it would be a whole different set of arguments. So it just doesn't sound like this is a meant to last type arrangement, but
I think what are you going to do at this point? Like, right. Yeah, I think she needs to run away and run away fast, but yeah. Well,
and if anything, like, I mean, look at it. Like, when people like stay at home and work from home, like, yeah, there's this whole misconception that you're, you know, you can do whatever you want. And some people do. Some people mail it in. There's days where I've mailed it in. Like, I'm not happy about it. Like, that's life. There's more distractions at home. There's things you can do. But you're also working different hours because of it. You're either hopping on earlier so you can do things or staying on later because there's no real physical end to your workday. And you're catching up where you can. But I mean, it's just an interesting, it's interesting arrangement, but it's always the hard things, like, you know, working from home or like even with like stay at home moms, like even if you're sitting there and saying, hey, like, you know, if you're in a relationship where you have a stay at home mom and you're looking at that as like, you know, you get to stay at home all day, it's the last thing you do. I watch what my child care providers do. Like, that is way harder, way more demanding than and way more stressful than anything I could be doing in my life. So it's just, it's a lot of grass is always greener type scenario, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it becomes like, sure, you may save some money by not paying the daycare or whatever, but you know, a lot of the people I've talked to, I feel like many of them would gladly give that money back to not have to wrangle up their kid at all hours of the day while trying to work.
Your home is your workplace. Like, it sucks.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, you know, it all comes down to communication. Like, right. I had a really awful day yesterday with work. And, you know, I said, I don't really feel like doing anything today. I'm exhausted mentally. You know, we had multiple crises to deal with. Can you take care of dinner? And she said, fine, because there's plenty of other days where I'm going to do it instead. And if she came to me and said, I don't feel like doing X because I'm tired or sick or whatever, I would gladly jump at the chance for that. So anyway, 36-year-old male on Reddit, need to get your shit together. You are a douchebag.
Yes, you are an asshole. If yes. You're asking, you are.
Yeah. I mean, even just looking at the subject line, I was like, yes, you are. But you very much proved it as you went on.
But then again, most of these things where it's like, am I asshole? Like, you're just wanting verification that you are. Like, you know you are, and you're hoping someone's going to tell you that you're not so you can feel better about yourself. But if you're posting on it, like, odds are you've done something stupid.
Yeah, and I always love it when they get mad about it at the end where it's like, well, clearly you all don't understand my situation, so I'm going to go away now. It's like, no, we get it. You're still an asshole. So have fun with that. But here we are at 6:47 Pacific, 3 p.m. Hawaiian, or 3:47 p.m. Hawaiian. We are at the end of our time together. It's been fun again, as always. If you missed any or all of this, if you're watching it after the fact, we will air this show on Thursday at the normal time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. out of Rough and Ready, California. But we're also going to splice in a couple other things as well as the second half of our interview with Doug, and it'll still be hopefully available in podcast form on Friday on all your major favorite podcast platforms. So with that, he's Shane, I'm Mike. It's the S&M show. Thank you for joining us on a Tuesday. Let's do it again next week during the normal time. Stay safe out there and peace.
Deuces, friends.